You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast here at William Hill. I'm Andy Holding, looking at an 8-race card at Punchestown this afternoon on Sunday, November the 19th. A star-studded programme, if ever we saw one. Not many runners, but lots of informative races for the future. We've got two graded contests at 105 and 140. Then the big one, the Morgiana Hurdle, which of course sees the reappearance of Faheen. The eagerly awaited Faheen. And of course, this time we haven't got Ruby Walsh on board, so we're still waiting to find the latest on who will ride William Mullins' Star Hurdler come 2:15 this afternoon. One or two nice little handicaps along the way to get our teeth stuck into.
Race one.
We begin with the Risk of Thunder Chase. A race that has been dominated, of course, by Edna Bulger in recent times. And this year looks no different, with Josie's Orders likely to be sent to post, a very short price favourite here, based on his experience over the banks fences throughout the years. Of course, this horse was a winner of the cross-country event at the Cheltenham Festival a couple of years ago. And there's a good chance that he might be able to get back to that sort of level following an eye-catching run, one would have to say, over hurdles the other day. Typical of Edna Bowles, the way he prepares his horses for these banks events, when he was six behind Monlino in a good handicap hurdle at Galway on the 30th October. Not naturally for a horse who wants 4 miles. He got outpaced over the 2.5 mile trip, but he did well to finish as close as he did from the position he was turning for home. And I like the way he came up the hill as well. He didn't finish too far behind his stable companion. Auvignon, unfortunately, fluffed his lines at Cheltenham over the banks fences the other day. But hopefully this son of a land won't, and he will get back on track here. At the main expense, one would imagine, of Sizing Cole, who looks, to be fair, the only one with the kind of ability that Josie Orders has. So Josie's Orders, very strong choice there in race one.
Race two.
On to race two then, the 2:30. Quite a fascinating contest in my eyes anyway, because there's a horse that I've been waiting for to run for a long, long time. I'm not sure what the problem has been with Ya-Ya Fizz from the Edward de Delaney stable, but this horse clocked some unbelievable time figures when last seen, particularly that run on the 11th of February when we last saw him. He absolutely flew around that day, making all the running, won by 17 lengths, but his time figure was much better than the Grade 2 contest on the same card that day. So basically I was just waiting for him to run in handicaps thereafter, but he never made the gig, so I don't really know what the problem has been with him. But if he's anywhere near the level that we saw when he was strutting his stuff in last winter, then he could take a bit of beating here, because I think he's much better than a 132 horse. The only slight question mark I've got is that he's racing right-handed here, whereas all his best forms at Nace and Navan, left-handed stiff tracks. So that might just have a little bit of a bearing on his performance this afternoon. But whatever happens, this Yaya Fears is a very smart horse, and I think you should keep on the right side of him. Of the others, well, of course, Oscar's Den was a winner at Navan last week when he started him very strongly to land a bit of a punt, actually beating the informed Lex Tolionis quite comfortably on that occasion. Caddy Walsh rode a lovely patient race on Ted Walsh's charge, and he carries quite a bit of confidence going into this race. I think he's probably the one to beat at the moment, having won quite well 7 days ago. But Yaha Fizz, like I say, is the horse I'm very much looking forward to seeing run there in the 2:30.
Race number three.
On to the first of the graded races then, which comes up at 105. And we have a fascinating clash between the first four in the market here, headed by Tombstone, who, of course, as we all know, is a very good hurdler. And given that he started his career over fences in a particularly solid-looking fashion, He probably is the one to beat down the Sean Ted in the market, but that doesn't mean to say that this is a stroll in the park for Gordon Elliott's charge, because Gordon sets punters a little bit of a poser here, sending Brillet to post, who up to now has finished second on his first three starts over fences. But he's run to a very good standard in defeat on each occasion, and if he can repeat it, that run behind Petit Mouchoir, or indeed his run the other day behind Willie Mullins' very exciting footpad, there's a good chance that he might be able to cause a little bit of a mini shock here. He's got a good cruising speed. I like the fact that he's gone around this track before. His time figures actually are the best I've got so far out of the first two or three in the betting. So it once comes, as I can say, it's a massive shock to me anyway, if Brillet was to finally get his head in front at the four type of asking over fences. And at round about 3-1 this morning, I just think he represents a little bit of value there in the 105.
Race 4.
On to the 140 then, and no doubt all eyes will be on Presenting Percy, who made a pretty spectacular start to his chasing career when winning with Plenty in Hand at Galway the other day, beating De Plotting Shed and Champollion in pretty decisive fashion. His jumping was the key component to his success that day. He was absolutely electric at his fences, and now we can see what he can do in much better company. Obviously, he was a very good horse over hurdles, as we saw at the Cheltenham Festival when he won the per temps final, and he's always threatened to be a decent chaser. But again, similarly to the favourite in the last race, I don't think this will be as easy as the market suggests, because the only slight negative I've got is that time at Galway was incredibly slow. They went a real pedestrian gallop, so obviously his jumping was going to be to a very proficient standard. Whether he can do it at a much stronger pace, of course, is the $64,000 question. But 10 to 11, he represents no value, whereas Shattered Love and Jury Duty, the two big representatives here from the Gordon Elliott stable, have already clocked a couple of decent times in victory and defeat, respectively. Of the pair, well, I do quite like Shattered Love. I think she's quite a useful mare in her own right. She seems to jump well, looking at what I've seen, and albeit she's been up against a mare so far, they've been useful mares at that. That Miss Eyecatcher, who was second to her last time out at Clonmel, is a very useful horse in her own right. So I do think Shattered Love, receiving all the allowances for the mares here, has got half a chance of causing a little bit of a mini shock, certainly at the prices anyway this morning. I think 4-1's not a bad price for Gordon Elliott's mare.
Race 5.
On to the 2:15 then, and no doubt, of course, all eyes here will be on Faheen as he makes his eagerly awaited seasonal reappearance, having missed last year through an injury. Hopefully he'll recover and come back to his very best, because if he is, well then, we still might get a couple of good years out of Faheen, and that'll be great for racing fans, because there's no doubt that he's been probably one of the best hurdlers we've seen around for the last couple of decades. Unfortunately, Ruby Walsh, who broke his leg yesterday, will be replaced, one would imagine, by Paul Townend. But Paul has been an able deputy for William Mullins over the years. Obviously, the two JP-owned horses are the two main dangers, if there are going to be dangers. Campeador, at least we know his well-being is in full tact when he won a conditions hurdle here on his seasonal reappearance in pretty decisive fashion. And he's always had the kind of like the style and the panache to make it into a graded hurdler if he can stay on his feet. Jetski, well, he proved the doubters wrong by winning the Istabrak hurdle at Tipperary when last seen, and that certainly suggested that he retains all his old ability, even though he had a little bit of a checkered season last year. But it's very difficult to oppose Faheen. One would imagine that he's been bubbling and ready to go for quite a while now. William Mullins wouldn't run him until he's absolutely 100% sure. And if he goes from the front, which is his usual tactics, I'd expect the nine-year-old to make a seasonal winning reappearance.
Race number 6.
On to the 250, and the interesting one here has got to be Steel Wave, of course, having his first run since leaving the Gerrit Power stable. Could be very well handicapped that horse off a mark of 110, but the horse that's in good form at the moment, along with his trainer, is Hollow Tree. And even though there's just a little nagging doubt at the back of my mind that 3 miles just might just stretch his stamina, I'm prepared to take a chance on the nine-year-old getting his head in front at the first time since back in 2011, unbelievably. He certainly suggested on his last two runs that a win is just around the corner, and if it wasn't for the well-handicapped Granny Biddy, he would have done that 2 starts ago. And to be fair, I don't think there was much wrong with his run the other day at Clonmel over 3 miles. It was just the stiff uphill climb to the line which caught him out, and the strong travelling powerful stay at Hurricane Darwin, just nipped in and stole his thunder late on. But Davy Russell is the perfect foil for Holletroo, who can hold on to him as late as possible and deliver his challenges probably to all over the last. And I certainly expect Holletroo to run, as he always does, his usual game and honest race.
Race 7.
On to the penultimate contest then, which comes up at 3.25, and it has to be said, this is a particularly weak affair for the track standards. I can't recall a race as poor as this for quite a while. Stucci probably just about sets the standard, having finished second to Normead's very promising young horse, Red Jack, when last seen at Nice on the 11th of November. But there is another one in this race that I do think could offer a little bit of value anyway at the prices, and that's Cosmos Moon, who comes out really well on my speed figures based on that run the other day down in Galway behind Midnight Stroll from the Robert Tyner stable. This horse was really doing all his best work at the end of that well-run heat, and got a feeling that stepping up in trip here just might suit this horse, who has certainly got the pedigree to match. Heavy ground shouldn't be a problem, because Galway the other day the ground was pretty testing. And like I say, in such a weak or race as weak as this, the fact that Ruby Walsh was booked to ride, I'm not sure who's going to deputise, but the fact that connections have gone out of the way to get the champion then certainly suggests their intent and their confidence in this horse running well here this afternoon. So Cosmos Moon is quite a confident choice there to go well in the penultimate.
And the final race.
On to the final race then, which is a bumper coming up at 3.55. And once again, we've got a Gordon Elliott trained representative at the head of the market in the shape of Rapid Escape. And I've been doing these podcasts now for the last 2-3 weeks, and I think virtually every single time that the last race has been a bumper and Gordon Elliott's got one in it, he's ended up being victorious. So there's absolutely no reason whatsoever for me to oppose this son of Doyen, who made a pretty impressive return to action when winning at Down Royal on his seasonal reappearance. Of course, it was the GN Wine Day, the big day at Down Royal. And this horse was probably one of the most impressive winners on that card. He literally cruised up to them, going as well as anything to out. And I do like the way he found plenty off the bridle for pressure in the end. And the fact that he was good enough to beat the very strongly founded first approach from the Normead stable suggests to me that he's quite a useful prospect. He's got a bit of chase, of course, which most Gordon Elliott's Giggingstown horses are. But stamina definitely seems to be very much his key component, and I think his odds will be justified there in the final race. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully you can rejoin us again on Friday, when we're going to be taking a look at our traditional evening card at Dundalk on the 24th of November. Until then, it's goodbye from me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.